Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lisa H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Today is Tuesday, June 3rd, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book, and we're in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 101. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins in our belief, any scheme, and ends, impossible, have always failed. Today's readers, and thank you for your service in June, the 12 Steps, Laura W., the 12 Traditions, Patty F., readers of the text, Vanessa G. and Kara L., our backup, Chanel T. The newcomer greeter this morning is Hillary B., and announcements will be given by Leslie M. The reference numbers, the reference numbers for the 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time meeting yesterday, June 2nd, is 22,486. That's 22486. And for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, Tuesday, June 3rd, is 22,488. That's 22488. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Laura W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. in the Chicago area. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Laura W. from Chicago. And I will now ask Patty F. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Patty F., a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters is anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups in NIC-A as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carries message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn to public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, television, and films, and any other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others on page 101. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph that begins "In our belief" and ends "Have always failed." And I'll now ask Vanessa G. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you, everyone on the line. This is Vanessa G., compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sixth man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with an even bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. Boy, I had a lot of schemes to combat my disease, to combat my compulsive overeating. There were the diets, there were the diet clubs, there were the new books to read, there were the, you know, contests with my sisters. There were all kinds of schemes that I had, and so those were one way of trying to shield myself. The other way would have been to stay away from, you know, places where there was unlimited food. And it's just overall, over and over again, those periods of time that I seemed to have some measure of success always ended. It ended with me getting to a goal, or whether it ended with me just giving up, I would end up binging. I would end up in a huge explosion of compulsive overeating. And I wonder why it was. And I wondered, I often wondered why it was. And here in this book, it says, if the alcoholic tries to shield himself, it is an attempt to do the impossible. Because this disease arises inside of me, It's not in the candy. It's not in the cookies. It's not in the cake. It's not in any of, it's not in excessive amounts of food. It's inside of me. This disease is inside of me. And so the answer has to come from inside of me too. This is where I have found a power greater than myself. And the impossible becomes the possible. And I am shielded from myself. I can't fix myself. That's a circular firing squad, if you want to look at it that way, trying to think my way out of this. I have to turn to a power greater than myself. And as a result, I am transformed. I have a new way of living, a new attitude, a new safety, a new shield from my disease. And I appreciate the opportunity to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Vanessa G., for getting us started this morning. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your shares to every third day in order that others might share their experience as well. So if you've shared on any of the vision meetings on Friday or Monday, we ask you to hold back this morning. And who would like to share on what was read?
Roz G.
Roz G.
Julie P., Minnesota.
Julie P.
Vicki T. in Florida.
Vicki T.
Joan Marie M., Nevada.
Joan Marie M.
Kara L.
Was that Kara or Tara? Oh, Kara.
Kara.
Gotcha, Kara. Gotcha. Thank you.
California.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Well, this is a great start. We have Roz G., Julie P., Vicki T., Joan Marie M., and Kara L. Roz G., you're up, followed by Julie P.
Okay, thank you. I am out walking my dog, so you may hear some wind. I'll try to, walk in a direction so it doesn't come into the phone. So I'm Roz G., and I'm a compulsive overeater recovered in Palmdale, California. And I love Overeaters Anonymous, and I've been around for over 20 years, and I have never left. And I would like to say that I have tried so many different ways to fix the problem in the 20 years. Even in OA, because there's different groups of OA. And I think maybe on this particular share, it wouldn't be appropriate to name them, but think about it. Think about the different kinds of groups of OA. And they may work for some, but they didn't work for me. Oh, this food plan. Oh, that food plan. Oh, this way. Every single time I tried one of those, I failed. And the big explosion for me was either relapse, weight gain, guilt, shame, and remorse, losing a sponsor, losing a sponsee, loss, the big word, loss. Not weight, though. But it just didn't work for me. And it's okay. Whoever it works for, great. I'm just saying for Roz, it didn't work. What works for me is working the big book, sitting with a whole bunch of different types of people, different ethnicities, different races, different religions, with the common problem, and getting a food plan that works for me, not getting out of that food plan, but staying in it, doing my nightly reviews, doing my morning awakening, doing 10 steps throughout. I've already done a 10 step this morning. I was disturbed. That's what works. Not trying this new and that and this and this and that. I already tried all that, and I didn't. It didn't work for me. So, fails. Yeah. It's okay to fail. I've learned from all my failures. I've learned from my relapses. I'm glad that I've had them. But I heard somebody say, maybe it was yesterday, I don't know. I don't think I have another recovery in me. I have another relapse, but not another recovery. And I was just doing step 6 and 7 with a sponsee this morning, and I am reminded that I am just as powerless over my character defects as I am from food. So the only way I want to try today is the big book way. And being a human being, I will make mistakes, but I just need to come right back to this book that never lies to me. So I'm just going to go ahead and pass because there's no outside noise here, and my time's probably up. Thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from California. And Julie P., you're up, followed by Vicki T.
Thank you so much for everyone's service this morning. My name is Julie P. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in northern Minnesota. I was listening to the share and reading this paragraph, and the first thing that came to my mind was I live with my husband, who is a normal eater. And I am so grateful that when I came to OA at the end of 2021, that I knew that I could not shield myself from his snacks. It would have been so much easier for me to almost divorce him and go find a place to live in myself so I could have only my food in the house. But today I am so grateful that I had to learn to shield myself from a temptation of his food that I cannot eat. I have had to learn that that is not mine. To me, that is like rat poison, and it will kill me if I eat any of those cookies or those chips or all of the things that are laying around my house. I am grateful that I know today that there is only one solution to not taking the first bite of those foods. And that is my spiritual fitness. And how am I doing today? And if I have any desire to even pick up one of those foods that are laying on my counter this morning, I know that I am not spiritually fit and I need to do some more program work. So thank you all. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Julie P. from Minnesota. And Vicki T., you're up, followed by Joan Marie M.
Hi, everybody. I'm Vicki T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. And I wanted to start my timer so I can stay in the boundaries. Let me get that going. Okay. So I've been on a lot of meetings lately, so I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself because I tend to repeat myself. But I love that saying somewhere in our literature that repetition is the only form of permanence, so hopefully we'll get it. I'll get it permanently. So I was listening to a speaker a couple weeks ago, and in our book it reads, faith without works is dead. And he said, work without faith is dead. And that's my story, because I worked this program for many years, but I worked it without God. And that was my scheme for combating my compulsive overeating. I worked the book like a textbook. I studied it. I wrote journals and notebooks and workbooks and hired bodybuilding trainers and compulsively exercised and took laxatives and did all that and controlled my food. And it worked until it didn't work. So I exceeded for a time, and then I always had a bigger explosion, and I always ended up binging. And it's what it says in the book. It tends to do the impossible. And I was beaten into a state of reasonableness or unreasonableness. Thankfully, I found God, or actually God found me. I'm not sure how it all worked out. But I have a relationship with a higher power today, and he has removed the obsession to compulsively overeat and binge. It's quite the miraculous thing. And now, you know, Bill W., it's not in the book, but he wrote about emotional sobriety as being the next frontier. And I get to use this program or utilize or work this program through the steps with emotional sobriety. sobriety, and I get to use my step 10 and use my God with skin and just having God transform. You know, I know that there's controversy on 6 and 7 of, well, I wait for God to remove my character defects, but I believe that if I change my actions, God will change my heart. So I work and partner with God on that. And I'm just so grateful that there is another way of working the steps, the way through the big book with God as my guide. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vicki T. from Florida. And Joan Marie M., you're up, followed by Kara L.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Marie M. from Nevada in recovery. Thank you, God. Okay, so what stood out is that if the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time. Well, that was a diet. People shared already different forms of OA. I've been in almost every one of them. And the first one, if you're an old timer, you'll remember the gray sheet. Yes, I lost weight, but I lost my hair and everything else. Yeah, if I try to restrict, and I have to be careful with that. I still have to be careful with that. And I'll wind up with a bigger explosion. And then I have two things that are bothersome to me, and that would be that I can't stop eating and that, you know, it's impossible. I don't know, I'm rambling a little bit here, so I lost my thought. But it really is true. When I try to restrict, which is dieting, I am taking back my will. I'm relying on myself instead of a power greater than myself. God did for me what I could never do for myself. He took the compulsion, the obsession away, and I have neutrality around food. Thank you, God. I mean, awesome program, awesome shares. I get to learn so much from everyone that shares. So if you're timid about sharing, you know, go for it because you have something to offer too. Okay, God bless everyone. I pass.
Thank you, Joan Marie M. And Kara L., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. I don't know if you can identify, but I just remember waking up every morning and eating a diet breakfast, food plan I had gotten somewhere. And then I would continually, after that diet breakfast, I would continue to compulsively eat throughout the day till I got to the evening, and I would make promises for the next day. And I would say, I'm going to be on that food plan. I'm going to be on that restriction. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I would get up in the morning with firm resolutions, I would eat that diet breakfast, and then I would continue to compulsively eat the whole rest of the day. You know, for me, it could work for a bit. I could shield myself a bit. I could use my own energy for a bit to stay away from the food. And then inevitably, something would happen, and I would start eating compulsively again. In the end, I couldn't even make it through the day. There were shorter and shorter periods where I could keep away from the food on my own. I had to stop trying to do it on my own and work these steps so I could get a spiritual awakening. I had to be honest and thorough, and I had to admit that I couldn't fix it on my own. I had been told my whole life that if I just worked hard enough, I could fix anything. And it wasn't working with my food. I was an utter failure with my food. And it was demoralizing. A power greater than myself today, all those foods are around me that I don't eat. I have people around me all the time. They're in my pantry. They're in my freezer. They're in my refrigerator. I go out to places that have lots of food. It doesn't bother me. The difference today is I have a connection with a power greater than myself. It's not me doing it. It's a power greater than myself. So I work every single day to stay connected to. I have to work these steps every single day. I have to get up early. I have to do the things, the inventories, the calls, the meetings. I have to do everything because I do not want to lose my connection with a power greater than myself, because that's what brought me to recovery. You know, being as honest and thorough and doing these steps and saying, I don't know how to do this. Please help me. And I'm so grateful for that today. Thank you for everyone giving service. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. And we are on page 101 in the big book in the chapter Working with Others. We have read and are commenting on the second paragraph that begins in our belief and ends have always failed. Who else would like to share this morning?
Jeff A., California.
Jeff A.
Margaret O.
Margaret, did you say Margaret O?
Yes.
Okay, Margaret O.
Sheila O.
Sheila O.
Robin B.
Robin. Was that a B or a P?
B as in boy.
Okay, Robin, thank you. I have Jeff A, Margaret O, Sheila O, Robin B. Anybody else? Okie doke. Jeff A, you're up, followed by Margaret O.
Yeah, this is Jeff A. I like all the shares that I've listened to. There's one thing that's been helpful to me. I went to one of my big birthdays last week, and my wife can eat whatever she likes, and the other people can eat, and so they always get dessert, and I don't. But I have something called a bookend. I have six people on a text screen, and I put down there, I'm going to my birthday, and will not eat my alcoholic foods. And I might also say, I'm nervous about XYZ or whatever. I have to be honest, whatever it is. I want to tell the truth. And then if necessary, I can get up and leave and call somebody. I didn't have to do that, but the waiter gave me a birthday dessert, and I said, yeah, I'm not going to do that. He did it anyways. I gave it to other people. But I resented him. So I talked, you know, I had to talk with someone about that afterwards. So that's worked well for me. And then you just text at the end, it worked. Or if you have to talk with someone during the meal. So that's something that's worked for me. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Jeff A. And Margaret O, you're up, followed by Sheila O.
Good morning. This is Margaret O from Connecticut. Thanks, moderator, for your service and everyone who's doing service for this meeting. I feel so fortunate to be in this Vision for You program because I've been in OA since 1998, and I never had recovery. I mean, I would have periods of abstinence, but it would always be followed by a break and a slip and a, you know, and I even left OA for 5 years. I thought, I've got this down. I can figure this out. And it was never, the big book was just not emphasized. It was just a piece, you know, one of the available literature choices. And now that I am really immersed in this big book, I mean, it is a spiritual treasure trove. We go through one paragraph a day, and there's so much packed into each paragraph. It's just brimming with higher power, you know, connection. I'm really grateful. I look around, I go, you know, pass by like Panda Express and these places that have unlimited amounts of food. And I used to feel so helpless in those places. But now I know there's guardrails up with my food plan, and I feel so peaceful around food and its quantities that, you know, I was bulimic for a couple of decades before finding OA. So it's that quantity and not understanding portions. And I look around and see so many people who are overweight. I mean, the obesity has just skyrocketed, especially in this country. And I look at them and I think, you know, they're trapped. They're trapped in that body and they're trapped in this disease. They're probably a compulsive overeater like me. You know, and it's not called Eaters Anonymous. It's called Overeaters Anonymous. And I guess it's all the fast food chains too, especially with, you know, young people. And it's very sad. But someone mentioned, I think on the first share about loss. It's not weight loss, but it's kind of dealing with loss. And I thought, wow, is that HP speaking to me this morning? Because I woke up with something that bothered me and I sent a text and I thought, you know what? I haven't even prayed yet today. And I sent a text. That's not good. I'm taking the wheel and I need to do a 10 step on this particular person and just really be with the loss. If that's what this is about, it is just loss and grieving something that, you know, it's hard for me to lose. It's a family connection. And so grief is a very difficult thing to process and feel. But, you know, if I can stay conscious and stay there and be willing to be conscious long enough to experience the feelings and not push them down with food, that's reality, you know. And that when I disconnect from the truth, that truth, it's like being a drunk driver. I mean, I'm not alert. I have to stay alert, but not self-absorbed. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Margaret O. from Connecticut. And Sheila O., you're up, followed by Robin B.
Hi, this is Sheila O. from Massachusetts. Thank you all for being here. I just came back a few weeks ago now. I think it's a few weeks. You might hear my little parakeet. He just is very spoiled. He's right next to me. I like the word impossible, last sentence. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. Always failed. Wow. Yep. And that's what I did. I tried to do the impossible. And when you get up and get into the food and then you're going to meetings and you're doing everything you can, but then you do the impossible. Of course I'm going to fail because I have an illness. And I just went to OA in and out since 1973 when we started in Western Massachusetts. And now I'm 83, and I'm back, and I am so grateful to be back. And I said my age because I know that one day at a time, that's what my good shepherd, my higher power, wants me to be here. And we're celebrating a new baby in the family, and we're getting together for birthdays Saturday. I don't drive anymore. the previous speaker spoke of loss, and our family has a lot of loss that we're going through in the last few years. And what's different right today, just for today, is that I'm not going to make any attempt to do the impossible. I don't want to do the impossible anymore. I don't need to try and do something that's impossible. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sheila O. from Massachusetts. So we're so glad you came back. And Robin B., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Robin B. in Ohio. And when I was reading this paragraph, in our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism, which proposes to shield the sick man. For me, it was putting up all of these external blocks, rearranging the kitchen cabinets, rearranging the refrigerator, rearranging my route to drive to wherever I was going. And it never worked because they were all external. It's not, my problem is not an external problem. It's not outside of me. The problem is internal. It's inside of me, and it's inside of my brain. It's this obsession of the mind that I have, and I can't fix my broken brain. Thank God I have a higher power that can. And it took this program to get through to me, to realize it, I have no power of my own. To fix my brain, to fix this obsession. And it's only God, my higher power, that can heal my brain and give me the peace and serenity to take away that obsession of my mind so that I stop acting on the compulsion to overeat. And what a relief of that burden that I no longer have to have that responsibility. I can't fix me, but my higher power can. So, you know, I am thankful for that. I am thankful for the program, and I am so thankful for my OA fellows that are part of keeping me connected, that I don't have to live alone and be in isolation. And that, you know, my higher power puts the right people in the right place at the right time for me. And I'm thankful that I'm able to, you know, my higher power uses me, put me in the right place at the right time to be of help and service to others. And I just want to thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin B. from Ohio. Looks like we have time for probably three more shares. Who else would like to share this morning?
I'm Agnes.
I beg your pardon?
Agnes from California.
Agnes from California. Anybody else?
Simone from California.
Oh, I missed that. There were two people at one time.
Polly Q.
Simone.
Polly. Polly Q. And who else?
Simone L. from California.
Simone. Thank you, Simone. Okay, we have Agnes, Polly, and Simone. Might be 2.5 minutes, but Agnes, please share with us, followed by Polly Q.
Hi, I'm Agnes from California, and thanks for your service and for those that have shared. Attempts to do the impossible have always failed. Impossible as in, obviously, we can't stay away from food, not even in our houses, right? So life goes on. If I was depending on my own power, right, then those places would continue to be threats to my abstinence and my connection to God, is what I've found. I have to go to the grocery store. There's stuff in the grocery store. People bring things to the office. You know, there are family events and stuff. How can I live life by avoiding those things? That's not recovery, right? And so I clue in to the fact that God is doing for me what I, in the past, have not been able to do for myself, which is go to the grocery store and, you know, be doomed, be torpedoed by the bakery aisle, right? I know those things are still there, and I'm still a compulsive overeater, but I also know to send up a quick prayer and say, God, help me with this, because I need to be there. It's not like I'm making a choice to go somewhere where I don't need to be, right? So that's what I get out of this. God helps me make the choices. My friend invited me to dinner, and I said, well, what's for dinner? And she said, well, all she had was this thing that had some red food in it. And I said, well, I'm sorry, you know that I don't eat those things. So there wasn't a good reason to be there when I knew that I was going to be served something I couldn't have. I said, next time, tell me, and I'll bring my own food, and then we can just enjoy each other's company. So, but when there's a legitimate reason to be around the food, then I just trust God and my recovery to get me through it. And that's living. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Agnes, what's the first initial of your last name?
A as in apple.
Thank you, Agnes. Agnes from California. And Polly Q, you're up, followed by Simone L.
Hi. Thank you, moderator. This is Polly Q from Northern California. Food addict, recovered. And there is just no way, based on this sentence, that I could live my life. I'm going to Disneyland with 8 family members of all ages. Some of them absolutely food addicts. Some of them other kinds of addicts. It won't matter. It's a big boatload of crazy. And we're going to drive there. But it really doesn't take that. I could just hang out in my house in my own little mind. And it would take nothing for me to pick that food up. I would. I'm a food addict of the hopeless variety. And as long as I'm a food addict of the hopeless variety, and I don't think I'm going to change in this body, as long as that is the case, without working these steps every day, I promise you, I would be back in the food. There just is no way around it. I would try to control it. I did it, tried for a long time, for years and years. And I would be, and I could go to meetings galore. You know, I could listen to the most wonderful people speak, as we do here online every day. It would not matter. I must work these steps. And I won't work these steps unless I work with others. It just won't happen. And I wish there was another way. I wish there was, but there isn't. And if I do work the steps, I can go anywhere. I'm going there. And I will not be afraid, because I'm going to have a spiritual solution as a result of working these steps. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Polly Q from California. And Simone L., please share with us.
Simone L. From California, compulsive overeater and sugar addict. You know, the absence, the lull in the line was my indication from higher power that I need to act in this moment. And that's what this passage is about. I cannot act in a way that is shielding me from life on life's terms, meaning trying to save myself from all of the red foods around me. I have a family, and they don't have an eating problem. I have an eating problem. And I am the one that has to act, which is turning my will and my isms over to God, right, and working with that. That's what I'm entitled, that's the act I'm entitled to take. I'm not entitled to try and control our environment and remove things. And so That's what I have to keep in the forefront of my mind. Simone, you get to work the steps and you get to turn it over to higher power. And I'm so grateful for that reminder and all the wonderful shares this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Simone L. And it does look like we have time for would like to take it.
Ann M,
take us away.
Okay. I'm Ann M, Washington State. I haven't shared in a while. I'm sorry. I need to. But just briefly, I have written here that if I am feeling deprived, then I'm not in a recovery state of mind. And that is what I need to think about whenever I obsess about food, weight, relationships, friendships. And then I need to, first do a 10th step and then look at that. What the heck is going on? So can I have, these difficult foods around and resist? That's not a recovery state of mind either. We're just resisting, holding on, white knuckling or whatever. So that is so helpful for me reading this. Any paragraph, just open the book and I just read any paragraph and it is very pertinent to what I need today. So thanks so much, everyone. I appreciate your work.
Thank you, Ann M. from Washington State. And I think we've come to the end of our time. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Kara L., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only until keep you until then.
Yep. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Submit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.